Hi, my name is Iman Zurich, and I'm doing an interview with my mom. Today is Sunday, June 12th, 2022. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah. Hi, Iman.
Hi.
My name is Dina Zurich, and I am Iman's mom, and I am delighted that Iman chose to have this interview with me and ask me questions and maybe learn some stuff about my life that I have not shared with her as of yet.
Mm-hmm. So first question, where were you born?
I was born many, many moons ago in Bosnia and Herzegovina in Europe.
Okay, and what was your childhood like in Bosnia?
You know what? I have to say that I had a great childhood. Childhood that was filled with playing with friends, being outside, climbing trees, you know, running through creeks, and none of the technology. So I really experienced my childhood to the fullest.
That's good. Do you have, or did you have any role models when you were growing up?
Oh, yes. I had more than one. I think the first person that left a mark on my life and my growing up was my grandfather, my maternal grandfather. When I was little, he seemed like a giant to me. He was a 6'7" tall man, and I was a little tiny thing. And his passion was gardening, you know, planting, and just he had a great green thumb. So I used to do things with him. I used to help him, you know, plant flowers, plant strawberries. And I remember being, I think I was like 4 years old, and it was a season, it was spring, so it was season to plant, you know, onions, and he was showing me how to put a single little onion seed in a little hole in the ground, and then just kind of put a little bit of a soil over. Well, I kind of got that, and I did a few rows, but then I was looking at him, and I started going behind him and actually picking them out. So, I have to say that my mom was very upset with me because of what I did. Like, I spoiled all of his work, and he was calm as a cucumber. He just said, "Oh, you know, she just did it the other way around." And he took me, you know, by the hand, and we went again and, you know, planted the onion seeds. But that's something that I remember to this day, and it's a memory that I am very fond of. And then my other role model that I grew up with is my mom's sister, my aunt, who took care of me for the first, I would say, 6 years of my life. And I think I wanted to be with her more than with my mom and dad, given that she only had one son who was much older than I am. So I was kind of her baby. And I was kind of spoiled. So I think that was one of the reasons why I kind of gravitated towards her and staying and spending time with her.
So what were their names?
So my grandfather, his name was Ahmed, and my aunt, her name was Bahia.
Are you still in contact with them today?
So my grandfather passed away in 1996. And my grandfather was well in his 90s when he passed away. It is an interesting story that my mom told me, and actually my other aunts and uncles, that my grandfather, when he was about 3 or 4 years old, he actually came to Bosnia on a boat with his family, and they were coming from Turkey. So my grandfather's birth certificate showed that he was born in 1904, but we believe that he was born 4 or 5 years prior to that, because he he remembered the trip, and he remembered his mother being pregnant with his sister, delivering his sister, and unfortunately that sister passed away on that ship when they were traveling. So I believe that my grandfather was closer to 100 years old when he passed away than what we actually knew based on a paper.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, see, you learned something. And then my aunt, who I called my second mom, she passed away last year in October. She was 82 years old.
Wow. So it seems like you had a pretty good childhood. How did your life change as you grew older?
You know what? It did change. There was a drastic change in 1991. I was almost 14, so I was 13 and a half when the war in Bosnia started. And being a 13 and a half year old teenager, you really don't think about things as the war or what kind of impact that would have on you. But I would say that it did change me. It shaped me into the person that I am today. And the war started, as I said, in 1991. I was 13 and a half, and I stayed with my family in Bosnia throughout the war until 1994. And then in 1994 is when my family, with the help of Red Cross and UN, we were able to escape the war and go into a refugee camp in Croatia.
How did you first hear about the war?
It's interesting because the war started. I don't think I even knew how the war started. Usually when back home, when you're seventh grade, you have this big, huge excursion that happens. So you go with your whole class, actually all of the seventh graders go to this extended, like a 4-day trip. And we actually went to, because I forgot to mention that Bosnia was part of former Yugoslavia. And Yugoslavia was composed of five other countries, and before, you know, it fell apart. And we were on our trip to visit Slovenia, then to visit Croatia, and then go back down to Bosnia. So when we were in Slovenia, I think it was day one of our trip, we were going to visit Bled, which is an island in like big lake, and we started seeing all these tanks passing on the freeway, or, you know, interstate. And as kids, I mean, we really did not pay much attention to it, but as we were moving down to Croatia, we started seeing more military trucks, more military moving. And again, as a 13 and a half year old kid, do you really think about, hey, something not that good is happening? No, we didn't. When we came back home to Bosnia, our parents were so glad to have us back because the war actually already started. My parents were really concerned that what if we got captured, or what if something happened to us, and, you know, they never saw me. So, it is.
So you said that you went to refugee camp. What was that like?
Yes. So, refugee camp was, it's a different space, and I have to say that I think that's what, it sounds kind of silly, but when we left Bosnia, we were only allowed to take one bag, like one small suitcase. Actually, it wasn't a small suitcase. It was like a small bag. And I convinced myself that we're going on vacation because I could not, I just had a really hard time thinking that I will never see my grandparents, my other cousins, my other aunts and uncles that actually stayed in Bosnia. So I convinced myself that I packed my one bag, one small bag, and I'm going on vacation and I will be back. So I think that's what kept me sane and, you know, going from going crazy, because it was very emotionally and mentally difficult to process all of that, especially for a teenager. I think my brother, who was 9 years old, no, he was less actually, he was not eight. He was 8 years at the time. He really didn't understand any of it. So to him, it's like, oh, we're going. But to me, it was a little bit more difficult to kind of agree with my parents that, hey, we have to go, because if we don't go, we might not survive.
I see. What was like a typical day in refugee camp? Like, what did you do while you were there?
So we were in refugee camp in Croatia. There was about 5,000 people in a camp. And when I say camp, it's not like a camping camp. It's a camp that has a barbed wire around. You cannot leave. You're pretty much stuck in there. And you live with many other people in the same kind of a tent. So the first night that when we came to the refugee camp, we were put in the tent with 12 other people. So it was scary, I have to say, because you are surrounded by people that you don't know. You're surrounded by people who have been through hell and back. I mean, people that lost the loved ones, that, you know, lost their children, or, you know, their mothers or fathers. So it was a lot of trauma that I was surrounded by. But as kids, I think we are so resilient and we kind of bounce back. So the year that I spent in that camp, I think I made the best out of it. I joined, they had volunteers all over the world that came. So we did a lot of arts and crafts. Mm-hmm. We did a lot of singing. We even did like a drama class. And then I decided, because the food was very scarce, I decided that I will join my mom and dad and go work in a field and make some extra money so we can buy some eggs and some milk from the people that lived in the village next to the refugee camp.
Mm-hmm. Is there somebody special you met in refugee camp by any chance?
Out of all places. Actually, yes. I think it was like month 5 or month 6 that I was at the refugee camp, and it was just in the evening, like all of the friends of them, or, you know, my girlfriends, we would kind of congregate together and just kind of talk, chit-chat, sing. And I saw this tall boy riding a bike, and I was like, I kind of like him. And all of my friends that were sitting with me said, what are you talking about? And I'm like, I need to know what his name is. So I sent my 8-year-old brother to ask for his name.
You said Daya?
Yes, yeah. my brother, we call him Daya. And he went and he asked, and he came back to me and said, oh, his name is Samir. So Samir and I started dating, if you can even call it dating in a refugee camp, but we stayed in touch even when we left refugee camps. I went to Canada and he came to United States. we stayed in contact, and after what, 6-7 years of being friends and in contact, we decided that, hey, it's time for us to get married. So I married my love from the refugee camp.
So how long were you in refugee camp, and when did you move to Canada?
So I was in a refugee camp for a year with my family, my mom, dad, and my brother. And we moved to Canada. We arrived to Canada in May 3rd, 1995. So we immigrated to Canada, and I came to this new country that I did not know the language. We were put into the immigration center, so we stayed there for about a month until we were able to find apartment and kind of learn our ways around.
How did you adjust to life in Canada?
I have to say that it wasn't easy. I think first, because we got there in May, so I had the whole kind of summer to start learning English, kind of start acclimating myself. And I think all that was going well until September came. I was at that point already 18 years of age, and I was enrolled back in high school. So I had to go back to high school. I was put in a grade 9. I was sitting with a ninth graders, and I was 18 years of age, and I really didn't speak much English at that time. So even when I would answer like very simple questions, my accent was so heavy that kids would make fun of me, and it was devastating to me. It got to the point where I really didn't want to go to school, but I knew that if I don't go to school, then how will I move on, and how will I learn, and how will I kind of put my life together, given that I was already an adult in, you know, eyes of society, eyes of law.
Mm-hmm. What motivated you to keep on going after dealing with all of that?
I think it's just something in me that kind of the more kids laughed about the way I was pronouncing words, I think the more I wanted to pronounce it, and I wanted to prove everybody kind of wrong. Hey, you made fun of me, but look, I can actually do X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
So I finished 4 years of high school like within 2 years. It was crazy. When I think about it now, I'm like, how did I do it? But grade 9, I did in a year, and then they let me test out for grade 10. And then grade 11 and 12, I did grade 11 during the day and grade 12 in the evening. So, you know, math, English, and chemistry were never an issue, because that was something that was my strong suit, and it was the language that was the barrier and was giving me a lot of troubles, and I had to put extra time and extra effort to actually, you know, be able to put it together.
Yeah. How did you end up moving to America?
Well, if you can remember, the love of my life,
of course,
back in Croatia, back in refugee camp. So Samir, who's my husband and Iman's father, moved to United States with his family. And then in 1996, Samir decided to join the Navy. Mm-hmm. And so he was traveling all over the world. And one day, he was in Guam, and he called me, and we were just on a phone kind of conversing, and I don't know why this came up, but I asked him, what are we doing? And he said, what do you mean, what are we doing? And I said, well, are we gonna get married or not? And he
got
said
right to it.
I just got right to it. And then he said, well, if you want to. And I said, okay, tell me the date that works for you, and I'll send you the invitation. So that's what happened.
So you guys have fun. Ended. Yeah. So, last question.
Mm-hmm.
If you could go back and change anything in your life, and I mean anything,
mm-hmm.
would you change anything, and what would you change?
I thought about this a lot because a lot of people ask me about this. When people hear my story and where I came from and what I went through, I think the answer maybe should be yes, but my answer is actually no. I really would not want to change anything because I love who I am and I love the person that I became. So I would not change any of it. I will keep it the same.
Yeah.
With all the struggles, goods and bads, I would still do the same.
Mm-hmm. And you'd stay the same because you had me, right?
Yes, of course. I would have to keep it the same.
Well, thank you for doing this interview with me.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it. I like hearing your stories a lot.
You're welcome. And I love telling my stories.
That's wonderful.
Bye.